Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. Man, it is a Monday. I have had a busy day today, working on paintings, working on internet stuff that's, you know, part of the business. And we got a bunch of our for those who don't know, one of the hobbies I picked up during the pandemic was organic gardening. And, we got a bunch of, thanks to my lovely wife, Danny's business partner, he upgraded his raised garden beds and was like, I'm just going to get rid of these unless you guys want them. And we wanted them. So we got them and putting those together and getting those in place all day today. And before you know it, going to have all kinds of good vegetables and whatnot. So we're doing all that all day. I mean, just crazy. But very fulfilling, you know. And then tonight, we have a show. And we've got a fantastic guest. I am just blown away by our guest talent. She is just a phenomenal singer-songwriter, alt-pop. Her name is Bree Olu, hopefully saying that right. Bree Olu, I'm pretty sure. Anyhow, let's get her on here and we'll find out. I'd like to welcome Bree. How are you? I hope I didn't carve up your name.
That's okay. It's Turkish, so the pronunciation's a little tough. It's Olu, so the G silent, so you got it right.
Oh, there we go. Well, I love it. I love a silent G. You can't beat it, you know? They're the dangerous G.
Yeah, nobody likes a hard G.
They've seen a few things. You don't know what they're going to do. I'm kidding, ladies and gentlemen. I'm kidding. That was a bad dad joke, and I'm not even a father. I guess my animal, the pet. Anywho. Now, Brittany, you were telling me before you before we went on the air, we were talking a little bit, as, you know, we do on these things, that you had just moved. That's always a fun chore.
Yes. I did just move to just a different part of Los Angeles, kind of right around when my release was happening. So it's been a whirlwind time for me, for sure.
Now, all of my musician friends always have a million... Well, you know, it's mostly really like guitar players now that I think about it. They always have like several big milk crates full of broken chords that they're going to fix someday but never do. Now, do you as a musician, are you guilty of that as well? Do you have a bunch of music stuff that you have to move when you move into a new pad?
I am. And, you know, I'm guilty of like I have instruments that I don't even play. You know, so, and yes, we have big, just, you know, wads of spaghetti for chords everywhere that someday we'll need. And to be fair, we often do use at some point. So, yeah, I am 100% guilty of that.
That's fantastic. We have an instrument. We're not even musicians, me and my wife. She's a sculptor and owns an online crystal business. And I, I'm a painter. And somebody gave her, I don't know where she got it. She got it from somebody. They gave it to her as a gift or something, one of her business people. And it's some kind of like metal, kind of looks like a donut, but it still has the hole in the center. Like it doesn't have a hole in the center. But you have a mallet type thing, and it makes different pitches in the steel. And it's on our coffee table. Everybody always plays with it when they come over. I have no idea what that is called.
That's amazing. You know, whatever it is, serving its purpose, bringing joy to people.
You know, the weird thing about it is it's such a shape that our dog, when our dog gets excited, we have a little Shar-Pei, and when she gets excited, she barks. She's guard dog, you know, so that means if a leaf blows by, the mail person, the mail lady comes, you know, anything like that, UPS, Amazon, she freaks out. And she'll bark, and her well, not all the time, but when she gets excited, she kind of has a bit of a high-pitched bark that comes every so often, and it'll resonate in this musical instrument, and the musical instrument will start, like, I don't know, like reverberating or whatnot from her, just the sound wave of her bark. It's the weirdest thing.
Is it a gong?
It's kind of, but it's like a thick thing. You know, think shoebox size maybe, and maybe a little smaller than that. A slipper box perhaps, and it's round. And like I said, it's metal, and they've cut it, and it's folded over, kind of like a sea creature kind of, I guess. And you hit it with a little hammer mallet thing that's got fabric on the end of it. I don't know. Just one of those things. But yeah, that's the only musical instrument. But we have tons of other stuff. I would hate for us to have to move again. Oh my gosh. remember when you were young, like, and you could move? I could move like everything I owned in a couple duffel bags, you know? I don't know what happened. Now I have too much stuff.
For sure. Yeah, no, I feel that. Every time I move, I'm reminded of how much stuff I have and how much stuff I haven't looked at in like 6 months to a year. So obviously don't really need.
Oh my gosh. Sounds like my wife's closet. Oh, it's crazy. She loves shoes. Always barefoot.
Yeah,
she loves shoes. I don't know what that's about.
I
know better than that. See? You ladies, I don't understand. I need 300
yeah.
characters. No, you don't.
Well,
you really
know, there's different occasions, you know, different shoes are needed for different occasions, I guess.
Oh, I suppose. We have, it's just crazy. It's crazy. But let me ask you this. Now, you're Los Angeles-based now. Now, did you move to, you mentioned your name's Turkish. Did you move? Were you like in Turkey and then moved to Los Angeles, or were you living somewhere else, Des Moines,
yeah,
Iowa, or something?
So I moved around a lot as a kid. I am an American, so just kind of Turkish
mm-hmm.
ancestry. I was born in Southern California, and then I moved quite a bit back and forth between the Midwest and Southern California. So I've lived in Central and Southern Illinois, and then I've also lived in Orange County and then Los Angeles. So kind of a weird juxtaposition of like two very different places.
Well, I tell you, I grew up in Detroit. So any chance we got to leave Detroit and go to like Illinois or Chicago or any of those places, we jumped at it. Like I said, any excuse to get the hell out of Detroit. it's nice now. Don't send me tweets, people. I understand it's cleaned up and it's very nice and. You only occasionally will see a car on fire. It wasn't that way when I was a kid. Sonya, it was bad. It was bad.
Yeah, I play it in Michigan who think very highly of it. So, I'm sure it's gotten much better.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Whenever I say a joke about Detroit before, I will. I'll get a bunch of emails and stuff. You haven't been there in 20 years. You don't know. You just don't know. And I'm like, no, there's a reason I haven't been there in 20 years. No, but I'll tell you, I left Detroit. I went to school in Boston. And after I got out of school, you know, like 6 years later, I was like sick of snow. And I said, I need to move to the opposite of Boston. Where is that? And I moved to Southern California, San Diego. And which means I was in L.A. every weekend because San Diego's beautiful, but it's a little dull as far as,
yeah,
you know.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it really is, you know. I mean, if you're a young guy, maybe it's different for women, I don't know. But, you know, I was a young buck, I was single, I was wolfing around. A lot going on in San Diego, you know. Thus, I was always up in, like, Silver Lake and places like that, you know. Fun
places. What were your spots?
Well, I love Southern California. the weirdest thing, my arrival in Southern California was like out of a movie. The plane landed, and you know that thing that they bring out from the airport? It's like a big like hallway, but it's like up in the air and it attaches to the plane, yeah. And that's how you get into the airport. Well, that was broke. Something wasn't working on it. So they went old school, and they wheeled out one of those, like, stairs on wheels, you know, like you see in old movies. And
yeah.
So they open the door, and I'm at the top of this stairway feeling like, you know, a movie star. And I smelt that sea breeze, you know, kind of came. And I was like, oh, I am home. This is I've lived near, I'm not a beach guy. I'm not like, oh, let's go surfing, you know, but I've lived near a beach ever since. Just because I love it. You know?
Yeah.
I can't handle it. No. Oh man. Yeah. Well, you probably had the same thing though, right?
That.
When you coming from Illinois?
Yeah. I was going to say, I do love the Midwest, but I have become quite a temperature snob. You know, if it gets too cold or too hot, I'm pretty out.
I'm telling you, once you've hung up Christmas lights and flip-flops, there ain't no going back.
No going back, yeah, exactly.
It's nice. Oh, man. Well, that's cool. So were you always music-oriented? I mean, were you like the – did you know Star is what your future would entail, or did that kind of happen? Was it always the plan?
I mean, I think as, like, a young kid, I always knew that singing was what I wanted to do. And then, you know, you, like, go through your teenage years and you go through some drama programs and maybe you don't get cast in the way you want to and you start to doubt yourself a little bit. But it was never enough to deter me. Like, I think I always knew that I wanted to pursue performing of some kind. And music was always nearest and dearest to my heart. So, yeah, I mean, yes, I always knew, but that doesn't mean I didn't, like, have moments of doubt like anybody else.
I gotcha. Yeah, but you're doing it. You're doing it. You know, you got
I'm
two tracking somewhere else, and, you know, that you're working on. You got a new single out. How cool is that? You can put on Spotify and hear you singing. How cool is that?
It's pretty wild, yeah.
That's amazing.
I'm super excited about it. I think it took me a while to release stuff just because I'm such a perfectionist, and it got to a place where I was just like, you have to, you know, like, even if what happens is you write something and then you, you know, put it through production and mixing and mastering, and by the time it's done, it's a year later and you're a different artist and you're thinking like, oh no, this doesn't represent me well enough anymore, so I'm gonna scrap it, and then you never release anything. And I had to get out of that cycle, you know. I had to just release something, even if I still heard imperfections in it, you know. I think it doesn't mean I can't touch someone somewhere, you know.
Absolutely. I have a very similar thing with my work. I'll look like, some days I'll look at my website, you know, I'm updating the website or something. And hey, speaking of websites, ladies and gentlemen, I just have to go on a tangent here. Bree has the most kick-ass website I've ever seen. I love it so much. It's one
Thank
page.
You.
And it's, yeah, it's very minimal. I love it. It's perfect. It takes you 3 seconds to update that. It's amazing, you know? Meanwhile, I'm over here screaming at the computer and pulling my hair out. You know, it's crazy. But I'll look at old – back to the subject, though. I digress. And we have a link, actually, ladies and gentlemen, on our show page. We have links not only to Bree's website, so you can check it out yourself. We also have her Instagram, her TikTok. Yes, she has a TikTok. And her Twitter. So you can – those links, when this is converted to a podcast, too, stay active, and you can always get to them. It's amazing. No, but I will. I'll look at, like, old paintings that I did 20 years ago, you know, not even that long ago. And, you know, and I was maybe in a different place, obviously, than I am now, and a lot less skilled at my craft. And I'm like, that painting looks terrible. Oh, my God. But, you know, the guy who or the gal who bought that painting, they love it to this day. So I get emails all the time from people. Oh, I think about it all the time. I look up. It's been on my wall for 15 years. I'm like, geez, Louise, you need something new. But and I want to redo them. But, like, everybody's like, you can't. They're happy. Why would you mess with that? You know, and I'm like, yeah, but. I get when when your name's on the door, it's hard not to be. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages. Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us, www.jamierocks.us.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store. It's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers Shrine clothing and Alchemy Gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
My Love Shack Apothecary online shop has everything you need to build a special gift for yourself or someone who needs a little pampering. I hand make all of the products in small batches using only plant-based ingredients and therapeutic-grade essential oils. Whether you choose one of my curated sets or want to build a custom gift set, My Love Shack Apothecary has everything you need to send a little sunshine to someone today. Please visit us online at www.loveshackapothecary.com. That's www.loveshackapothecary.com, as well as online on Instagram and Facebook. Links are in our website.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Rocks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
Yeah, I think people may don't realize that being on the artist side of things, it's pretty painful for a lot of the process because we're such harsh critics and artists are deeply personal, and that's like a reflection of really who we are. And sometimes the timeline doesn't, like I was saying, you know, when things are released far after when you wrote them, like sometimes they don't reflect who you are now, and that could be a little, you know, like kind of cringy, like when you look at your old paintings and you're like, oof, like I could have, you know, I've changed
absolutely
so much and got so much better. Like, you know, I listen to old recordings and I'm just like, I don't know why I didn't listen to that 10 years ago and think like, maybe it's not for me, you know?
Oh, but I'm glad, you know, the thing is though, you're an artist, and that's the thing is you have to be doing, it reminds me of a fantastic Mark Twain quote that said there's two very important dates in a person's life. The day that they're born and the day they realize why they were born, when they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And that's very deep, very true.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I'll tell you something weird that I've discovered too. When you figure out, like with you, it's performing and whatnot. When you finally figure out, hey, this is what I need to be doing, and I don't know if it's, you know, religious, or, you know, the universe or karma, whatever it is. But things just seem to, when you're on the right path, it's amazing how things will just fall into place. You know, you're like, wow,
yeah.
I couldn't have planned that.
Yeah.
And the
absolutely
weird thing, too, that I've noticed,
yeah, when you,
the opposite
when
holds
slow
true. When you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, oh, man. Somebody
for
talking
sure
to you. Oh,
yeah,
crazy.
I think, you know, when you're not slow, I think it's always something to look at, you know, when you're really doing what you're meant to do. I agree, like, things do fall in place. And if you're met with a lot of resistance, it's possible you're just, it's not meant for you, you know.
You're on the wrong path. Yeah. I'm telling you, folks, there's a lot of sad boys in jail tonight coming to this realization, hopefully.
Yeah.
I need to do something different. Oh, man. I'm getting excited about a Jell-O cup. And shower shoes. Oh, no. No, it's cool, man. It's cool that you, and you're super talented. I mean, I don't know, you know, if you're aware of this or whatnot. I'm sure you probably are. You know, you probably wake up in the morning and want to go, wow, it's amazing to be free. I am like chock full of talent. But you really are, you know.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I think there are days where, I feel like $1 million, and then there are days when I, you know, doubt it. I think like anyone else. I think I was just talking to someone else about this recently. The hardest part of the industry for me hasn't necessarily been recognizing my worth. I think I had great parents that always, like, told me that I was talented and really built me up, which is invaluable. You know, I can't be more grateful about that. But,
that's awesome.
You know, the industry, it's not so much the rejection, because that's just being a performer. You know, you do 100 auditions or you write 100 songs and one is good. The rejection is just built in. It's being told how good you are, but then not necessarily seeing it reflected in your you know, immediate. That's what's tough, because then you start to doubt, like, oh, well, you know, maybe I'm not perceiving things clearly. Maybe maybe I'm not as good as I think I am, or, you know, that I think that's what's been the most difficult part. Not necessarily knowing my worth, but the process, you know, between, you know, where you start out and where you end as an artist, it's a grueling journey, or it can be, you know, not to say things can't fall into place for you, but it's still a lot of work and a lot of time.
Oh, absolutely. And there's so much to it. And it's so easy to make mistakes. I'll never forget, I did this, my first show, and I live in South Florida now, my first South Florida show, I do a lot of paintings, well, I paint anything. I tell people all the time, they're like, what do you paint? And I'm like, you know, I'll paint a cow's backside if the check clears. not a problem.
Totally.
Anyhow, but I do paint a lot of what I call pop noir. It's kind of, think Quentin Tarantino, but in paintings, you know, beautiful women up to no good, you know. I've painted a lot of guns and garters, you know, that kind of stuff.
I love that. Yeah.
And, Well, yeah, you know, and there's a certain group of people that, that dig it and, you know, buy it and enjoy that and whatnot. So I was doing this art show, and I'm like, what do you want me to paint? You know, I was talking to the gallery, and they're like, oh, just do your normal stuff. You know, oh, we love it, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. And what I should have researched, but I didn't. This is learning and making mistakes. What I didn't and I knew it kind of, you know, that I didn't ask a lot of questions. I was just happy to be doing a show. And it was their clientele, hardcore LGBTQ. And nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm in the arts, but I come across that quite a bit. But a lot of gay guys don't want glamorous women up to no good hanging on their walls. You know, they just don't. It's not their thing. And again, nothing wrong with that. But so we're doing the show. And I'm used to selling, you know, maybe selling out, maybe at least selling like half the paintings or whatever in the show. Nothing selling. Crickets, you know, very loud crickets. That was.
Yeah,
but,
you know,
You live and learn. You live and learn.
For
but it's,
sure.
it's easy to make
we've
little missteps and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you know.
All situation before.
Well, one of the things you've done is.
Delay.
Oh, I'm sorry. What were you? Did I didn't mean cut you off? What were you saying?
Oh, I just that I think we've all been in that situation where we haven't quite known what the demographic was, and maybe, you know, I've definitely rolled up to some gigs with the songs I've had to quickly, you know, change lyrics to on the spot because it just wasn't quite the crowd.
Right. I hear that. There was, I was reading an article, it was an old news article about Prince, when Prince first started, and I guess one of his first, like, big-time gigs was opening for the Rolling Stones. Some promoter thought that was a good lineup, you know, and had a vision. The crowd, I guess, disagreed. The Rolling Stones rock and roll crowd. You know, he came out in his lingerie and whatnot, and They weren't having it. You know, it was a bad scene. Oh, man. I'm sure there were discussions that happened afterwards.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, my parents went to a U2 concert, and I remember Kanye West was opening up for U2, and my parents were, not that they're not Kanye fans, but it just, you know, U2's really big on there. List of favorites, and Kanye's, you know, just not so much. And I remember feeling like that's a really weird pair. That's two very different, like, brands, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Some promoter somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, but you know, initially they were like, it's going to be great. It's going to be like Run DMC and Aerosmith. I love it. Let's put Kanye and U2 together.
No. Right. It was like such a. And I remember as a kid, I was like, wow, like Kanye West is going to be there. Like, U2 should be opening for Kanye. You know, I was a child. And my parents, like, they still give me shit for that today.
Oh, it's true. Kanye's one of those artists that I like a lot of his music, but he's one of those artists that it's hard to be a fan of, you know, because he just talks and you're like, please don't. Just make, you know, I just want to be happy. I love that one he did with Daft Punk, though. That was my going out theme for a long time, man. That got played out a lot. On those Silver Lake trips.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, man. But it's, you know, it's weird, too, because you listen, like, I'll revisit. It's weird because, like, streaming during the pandemic, everybody became such experts with streaming. If people are like me, that they probably were like, oh, I really liked this show when I was a kid, and they'd rewatch like television shows and stuff that they were into or movies, and then you watch it now and you're like, oh, this is horrible. But with music, I think music is so much more powerful because I haven't had that experience with music. You know, it's always a pleasant trip down nostalgia lane. Well, I'm like, ooh, I really liked this album. You know, I remember buying this at 12 years old or 13 or whatever, and just being into it. And I revisit it, and I don't cringe. That's the term. You used that earlier. I don't get cringy with it, with music.
Definitely movies and TV, I do.
You know?
That's such like an insightful thing to bring up. Like, I do feel the same way. Like when I listen to an old record, like I'm like, wow, like this is the shit. But then when I watch like a film that was made in the 80s, I'm like, that was bad. Like those special effects were like, you know, so bad and good kind of thing. But you're like, you should have done better, guys. But then, you know, you listen to even old music from like the 40s and you're like, this is incredible. Like the talent and it's almost like the, you know, lack of technological advancements at the time only add to it, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I tell you, I had the weirdest experience. My wife, Danny, she's a little younger than me. She's about, I don't know, 13, 15 years younger than me. And she's a big, serious radio fan. And she listens to, you know, the pop station is on that in her car. And her work's like an hour away. So she's in the car minimum 2 hours a day on her work day. And so I got in her car the other day with her. We were going somewhere, and she had a radio station on. And again, I'm a very well-trained husband. I know not to mess with, again, I was raised in Detroit. You don't mess with somebody else's radio in the car. That's a bad plan, you know. I've been trained very well.
Good
for
you,
yeah. So I'm listening, though, listening to the because you know how these radio stations usually they have maybe an hour's worth of actual broadcast that they just loop and play over and over, and there's, I'm not throwing shade as the youngsters say, that's just how it is, but I'm listening to what's hot right now. Obviously I get a barometer of what's going on, and it was the weirdest thing. The guy who my wife, to her credit, explained all this to me because I was like, wow, this is the strangest. This is top 40 right now. The guy who did the Elvis movie has a big hit, so there's like this kind of 50s ballad, almost sounds Elvis Presley-esque track that came on, and then something, the new Harry Styles came on, which sounds very, that heavy bass and very 80s to me. And it was just such a weird, it didn't even seem like the same genre of music. And it really wasn't. And I was just like, wow. And everybody's obviously into this, I mean, they're playing it. It amazed me. I think it's a very exciting time in your business of music because people like what they like, And I think that's cool. It's got to be. As a musician, to open up, new branches of areas if you want to experiment with something and whatnot. What do you think?
I completely agree. I was just actually having this conversation with a musician recently, and I think a lot of it can be attributed to social media because we're able to have such direct access to other cultures and part of the world and fashion trends and all sorts of things, and you can kind of just pick an era that you like or a certain brand or look or vibe that you like. I mean, 80s music is coming back through, but there's always kind of been a wave of 70s music that was coming back in. Because there's such a platform for artists now, I feel like you can find your audience, like you'll find people who like what you like. Like I sometimes worry about that when, making production decisions. I'm like, oh, like, is this in? Is this not in? Did this just, is vocoder? Do we have already too much vocoder? And it's like with, our kind of interconnectedness now, for lack of a better term, like you're going to find somebody who likes what you do, and that's kind of awesome.
No, I'm absolutely. Absolutely. It's an exciting thing. I mean, I know people bitch about the internet, and yes, I too have, a racist cousin. that I really want to unfriend, but I can't because I don't want to have the drama,
As long as you don't
I'm just like
policy.
Everybody. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And
everyone's got that.
Oh yeah. They just, you know, we just do. And but the thing is, what's interesting is, I think that the good outweighs the bad. I mean, it's amazing. Even having this conversation, you know, we're 3,000 miles apart right now, and it's just like we're almost sitting in the same room. You know, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be happening 100 years ago. It's amazing. Well, very, very cool. Now, you have a brand new single. This is your debut single, as I understand it. It's called Slowly. And,
yes, I do. Slowly, it's finally. I've done other music before. I've just been too shy to really claim it. This is the first one I'm claiming it. This is my debut single.
Nice. Now, we're going to play it. Do you want to give a little intro to it, or should we play it and then talk about it? How, Bree, you've got the reins. What would you like to do?
I'll talk about it a little first, actually, if that's okay.
That's totally fine. The stage is
yours. Awesome. So, all right. I started writing I had the chorus written a few years back. I just kind of professed feelings to a really close friend, and I was in that period of time before they responded, and you know, in that time there's like so much possibility, but there's also so much fear too, because it could go one of many ways, especially when it's a close friend. And it was just a blend of emotions that I hadn't quite felt together before, so I was inspired to write, and I wrote the chorus, and then shelved it for years. And then when we were finishing up the EP, my producer and I decided I wanted another original on there, because I have three covers on it, and I wanted three originals as well to balance that out. And I revisited Slowly, and then we finished it. And fun fact, the person the song is about is actually the producer. So he ended up producing a song written about him.
Wow. Now, did you let him know this or her? Well, no, to him, right? It doesn't matter to me.
He knows this, and we're together now.
Was that weird, though? You know, because that could have been really weird. Because then it seeps over into work, you know what I mean? Oh, gosh. I'm glad it worked out.
I would say, like, when it comes to work, I'm the more emotional one. He's pretty good at separating. So I think he was, I mean, I'm sure, yeah, there were moments where he felt maybe a certain way about it, but he's very professional. So he was fine. I think for me, it was a little, like, you know, vulnerable, because it's so, you know, it's emotional, and it, like, really unveils how deep of feelings you have for somebody. And that's always scary, you know?
Well, that's amazing. That's pretty cool too. As a guy, man. Oh my gosh, I think the only songs that anybody's ever sang about me are, you know, "Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead" or something.
No.
Bye bye. See you later.
Glad
he's gone. No.
I hope he's listening.
But seriously.
Listening, you're lucky.
Oh man. Well, here it is. Let's play it. This is Slowly, and. By Bree, now I'm going to say this right. I got to remember, no hard G, no G at all. Ulu.
Olu. Bree Olu.
Bree Olu.
Yeah.
That's the name.
That sounds Hawaiian.
Bree Olu. Yeah, it does. It sounds like the name of a very expensive restaurant or car.
Thank you.
know.
I love that.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be very pleased, but you're going to be a little lighter in your wallet when you hear that.
Accurate. Extremely accurate.
300 shoes. I know this. No, I'm anyway, here's the track, ladies and gentlemen, in all seriousness. This is really cool. Check this out. This is Slowly. I love it. Here it is.
Call you up, I guess it's time to rest.
What a track, ladies and gentlemen. What a track. I did not lie. Slowly.
Thank
breathe.
You so much.
Olu. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Honestly, I need to give a huge shout out to the producer, Will. He absolutely killed it. He's such a unique talent and honestly just a genius, and it wouldn't be possible without him.
Mr. Will Snyder. I'm telling you, during the pandemic, I got in this weird kick where I was watching all these, you can only watch, I can't even handle the Tiger King. My wife watched that stuff, but that wasn't for me. I was watching these weird YouTube channels and they had one called Produce Like a Pro. I'm not in the music business. I don't even play an instrument, but I found it fascinating. I had no idea. Producing's hard. Those guys and ladies do a lot of hard stuff. I had no idea.
My God. Yeah, it's next level. Like when I feel like producers are people that just do everything. Like when I think about Will, he's a visionary. Like he chooses the sounds. Like of course I, give input, but like, he will choose all the sounds, he'll help arrange it, he co-writes it, and then he, plays every instrument ever. And it's just, it's crazy,
right?
Like what they do. And a lot of them are artists themselves, so they also write and have their own music that's insane. And producers are like gods. It's insane.
It's crazy. I'm very, very, so much respect. That's cool. Now, did you guys know each other like after you moved out to California, or did you meet, or getting a good even a working relationship is hard.
We were referred to each other through mutual friends. I was looking for a good pop producer. I at the time was singing a lot of jazz, and love jazz, but I knew I wanted to put out a pop record, and so I was referred to him through a mutual friend of ours, and then we started working together, and I knew, like, I was like, yep, this is it, this is the producer, this is, like, he just,
nice.
You know, I think it's really special when you find someone that likes the same things that you like, thinks the same things sound good, because, that's all open for interpretation, and it's not necessarily right or wrong if you don't like the same things, but it's really lucky when you're on the same page with the sounds that you like,
Absolutely. And it's gotta be tough too, on both sides. Cause you're essentially, it's like being in a band almost, because you have different, and it's not just, I gotta work with somebody. No, you have to work with an artist. Somebody with egos, and sometimes they're strong, sometimes they're fragile, and
all over the place. Yeah, we're a full range of emotions within 60 minutes. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and your art is from your heart, So it people are like, well, you can't take it personally. Oh, yeah, absolutely, you're taking it personally. Are you kidding me?
Of course.
And,
yeah.
No matter what kind of art you're doing, it's I get it. Like I said, my hat goes off. Well, you guys did a phenomenal, fantastic job on this. This is a great single. Is it out now? Can people get it, or is it coming to be soon to be out?
Yes. So it is. It's live as of the 25th. It's on all the things. So Spotify, Apple Music. It's being playlisted pretty well as well. So please stream it and buy it. The things.
Absolutely. And at the very least, if you're, if you're broke with a joke right now, I get it. We've all been there. Believe me. I used to live in Las Vegas for a summer. Believe me, I know. at the very least, just add it to your playlist. That helps a lot. You'd be amazed. We have a Pop Rocks Radio playlist that we always add our music guests to and whatnot. But, everybody has playlists. That's the new cassette, the new mix.
Yeah, it really is. It's so helpful. You have no idea how much just adding your song to a playlist can really catapult an artist just within your own, group of friends.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages. this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us, www.jamierocks.us.
Hey, rockers. This is Stacey Lane Wilson, author and editor of the Rock and Roll Nightmares book series. I have a new podcast that features interviews with musicians, artists, authors, filmmakers, and music historians. In season one, I interview Phil Soussan from Ozzy Osbourne's band, Scott Crawford, the director of the Cream magazine documentary, Lisa S. Johnson, the award-winning author and photographer of the books 108 Rockstar Guitars and Immortal Axes, just to name a few. The Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast explores the dark and mysterious and sometimes funny side of music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. Enjoy on RSS or anywhere you like to listen to podcasts.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com. Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion. Fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Absolutely.
And the thing is if you dig something, chances are your friends are going to dig it too because you have common interests. You know, I mean, that's how that works. That's why you're friends. Nobody's friends with people they hate.
Right.
I got nothing in common with this guy. Let's be friends.
Right.
No.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's crazy. Now, let's talk. No, you dropped a single, and this is, you know, a couple days ago, 4 days ago, you dropped this. You and your team. Any thought? And how do you feel about music videos and whatnot? I always ask my musician friends this, and they're about 50-50. They're like, oh, they're great. I love doing them. The other half are like, it's a necessary evil. Where do you fall on that spectrum of music video?
I see both sides. Taking on a music video, it's such an undertaking, but it can be invaluable to, like, just add visual representation to your song. So I get it. You know, I do have plans to make a music video for this, but the release date is still TBD. But
I gotcha.
Yeah, making a music video is definitely, like, you know, overwhelming always, but I think worth it. Yeah.
Well, and I don't think that they might have a new place in L.A. now in Hollywood where they do it for free. No, they don't. I'm sure that they don't.
Oh, yeah.
In anything, it costs money, you know. Even my stuff, People are like, it doesn't cost that much to be a painter. I'm like, have you bought big canvases lately? They ain't cheap. They're more than sustaining sometimes. It's tragic. Anyhow, I think this stuff should be a lot cheaper. Studio time and the like, I'm sure. But putting a single, let alone an EP together, that ain't cheap either, you know? Even Will, we love Will. Will's great. But, you know, still got to get paid.
Yeah.
You know? Still got to
eat. Music is both very rewarding, but yeah, definitely on the front end can be a high expense, but worth it. And you know, in my experience, it has paid itself back, thankfully.
Well, that's nice. That's cool. That is cool. Well, let me ask you this. Now, I know you're working with the best in the business, and I'd like to give a big shout out to Trend PR, Amanda, and everybody over at the Trend PR offices. There are just first rate. In my opinion, I deal with a lot of PR companies. I love Trend PR; they're fantastic. But they know what they're doing. But I know I've been doing this podcast now for about 7 years, 6 or 7 years, maybe longer. Gosh, how did that happen? Anyway, doesn't matter. But I know how I've been working with them for quite a while, and I know that they have a schedule. They're like, okay, you're going to do this single. You're going to, it's, there's seven moves down the chessboard than other people. Are you going to, when, do you, any idea? Because I want to hear more of your work, Bree. When the next single is going to drop?
Yes, actually. It's going to be announced soon, but I'll just say September.
Okay.
There's
nice.
A really, really, and oops. Sorry, there's a motorcycle outside my apartment in September.
Will coming back from,
Yeah,
from
coming up on
tour.
His Harley. Coming back from the studio. so there's a really special song that I'm so, so excited about that's dropping mid-September. So keep an eye out on
nice.
My socials. It's just my name. It's Briolu, O-G-L-U, at Instagram and on Facebook and all the things. So I'd love for you guys to tune in for that.
Fantastic. And you've got a TikTok. My wife has a TikTok. During the pandemic, we had a guest room and it got converted to a TikTok studio there for a while. with lots of sheets and backgrounds and all kinds of stuff. Are you a fan of doing TikToks? All you youngsters are, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy it. I will say, social media in general, at first didn't come naturally to me, but then you realize, it's both a necessary evil, but also, a really cool part of the industry, because, what I was talking about earlier, You have such a platform that's free. It's free to you for you to use, and it's almost like you're any record label where you can promote things for free. You can reach out to so many different demographics, so many places in the world that get to hear your music that, even 20 years ago would be really difficult.
I'm telling you, when I was a kid, a million years ago in Detroit, all of my friends were musicians. I was the only painter among the bunch. And they all, everybody played guitar. Everybody wanted to be a rock star. That was the big plan. And, everybody was in bands. A lot of people were in several bands at the same time. And that's how I used to get to go to shows is, I was friends with all these people. But nothing's free, and I'd be like, oh, man, they're like, come see us play. And I'm like, I would. I'm broke. And they would. This is how they would do it. It was two ways. They'd give me a stack of flyers and a staple gun and say, hit every telephone pole you can, to get people to come to the show. And, and I was a new waiver. I was wearing eyeliner, had big hair. I guess I was pretty back in the day because I worked a lot of merch tables. I'm telling you, I sold a lot of T-shirts.
Yeah.
And that's
like
how you get to see
the
show.
The comp. Yeah, when you're on the list.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, man. But, yeah, in those days, I wish there would have been a Twitter. You know, that would have been so much easier out in the rain putting up flyers. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, you're very well. You've got the social media down, you know, all of this. Like, from your cool minimalistic website, I was just looking at your Instagram. It's fantastic. It looks like a Vogue model magazine. I love it.
Thank you so much. It did not come easily. I worked hard for that, so thank you.
Well, you did very well with it. My wife knows all that stuff, you know, like how many, she's like, you're posting too much on Instagram. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's only 10 posts. She goes, you can't post 10 posts in a day. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, you got to stay the
it reminds,
doing.
I know, I'm learning. It reminds me when I first got on Twitter, people, and with hashtags, they're like, just hashtag the important word, you know, the keywords. I'm like, well, everything I'm writing is important. And they're like, you can't hashtag the, Jamie. What is wrong with you? I didn't know.
<You're>
I
like,
would hashtag every word.
Is there anything greater than love, though?
Oh, man. I'm telling you, it was crazy. It was crazy. Very, very cool. Well, you know, it's a great single. I want everybody to pick it up slowly. It is, don't pick it up slowly, but pick up the single slowly. You know what I'm saying. It's fantastic. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Well, very cool. I want to thank you. I know, at the beginning of these, I'm always like, you good for a half hour? Here it is. We're going on an hour. My little light's been blinking. Actually, I have a piece of tape I put over it. Because you're fascinating to talk to. I want to apologize. I hope I didn't mess up your evening, your afternoon.
No, absolutely not. I'm so happy to be here. This is fun.
I'm telling you, I could do one of those three-hour Joe Rogan ones, but, you know, I know everybody's like, no, Jamie, don't do that tonight. But thank you so much, Bree, for coming on the show and classing the joint up and everything. It's amazing, and you're amazing, and your single's amazing, you know?
As are you. Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. I'm going to email Amanda after the show here and say, get Bree on the show again when her single drops.
I would love that. That would be so fun.
Oh, absolutely. Well, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. I'm all turned around now. I'm discombobulated. There's a word you don't hear every day. Anyhow, this live show is going to be converted to a podcast. We're going to throw it out on all the social media platforms and on all the podcasting platforms. And I know somebody right now is sitting at home going, Jamie, how many podcasting platforms? We're on 678 of them. All I'm going to say, here's my little public service announcement for the day. If you're sitting around at home right now, listening to our, thanks for listening. We appreciate that. But you're having this idea. You're like, I want to start a business. All I'm saying, if the business you want to start is a podcast, there's already 678 of them that I know about. You might want to go in a different direction. Just saying, you know, just saying. Pizza and donut, food truck. Sounds pretty good to me. Anyway. Have a good day, everybody, a good night. And remember, the world's still a little weird right now. It's getting better. It's getting better. But, you know, if your waitress takes a little time getting your coffee to you, don't take it out on her or him. Just be cool and be nice to people, you know. We'll all do much better. You know, you won't be mad. How about that? How about that? Bree, my advice to you. Keep doing what you're doing. You're super good at it, you know? Seriously.
Thank you so much. That's so kind, really.
Oh, anytime. Absolutely. I can't wait to talk to you soon. Everybody, check out Slowly. Bree Ugloo. I almost did the
Olu.
G there, but Olu. I tried to correct myself. I know. Why am I going, ooh, what is that? Olu. Bree Olu. I'm telling you, I'll never forget it now. Bree, have a good night, and thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Pana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.